welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Now my heart's desire is to know you more and be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not, and all surpassing gift of righteousness, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, sent so truly and never die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love knowing you, Lord Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're all, you're the best, you're my righteousness, and I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. Brethren, I want you to pray. It says, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there's no greater thing. There is no greater thing. I want you to declare to him, the Lord, there is no greater thing than knowing you. There is no greater thing than knowing you. Nothing is greater. Nothing is mightier than knowing you. Nothing is better. Nothing yields better results than when a man, than when a woman knows Jesus. Please turn it to a prayer. That, Lord, I want to experience it. I want to experience how knowing you surpasses everything. So all I once held dear, all I once built my life upon, all the world reveres and they are fighting to own. All I once thought gain, now I'm counting loss, spent and worthless, now compared to knowing you. Let it be so, Father, in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Lord God Almighty, we want to thank you for this afternoon. We thank you because the Bible said that you daily loaded us with benefits. We thank you for what you started with us in the morning. Several of us received calls into ministry. Several of us received giftings in the Holy Ghost. Then you came again to point us to the man Jesus in the second teaching. The third teaching shows us that to be born in Nigeria at such a time like this is a huge privilege and it's a great opportunity. As against what people think, that because we are born in Nigeria at such a time as this, it's a curse and it's a problem. Father, you want to tie it properly for us this evening as we are ending today. I pray that, Lord, as you have spoken in all the earlier sessions, that you will speak in the name of Jesus. The word of God says, and as I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, he said there was a rattling, there was a shaking, and bone came together with bone, and ligament came upon them, and flesh covered them, and skin covered the flesh. But there was no breath. And he said again, prophesy, son of man, to the breath or to the four winds, that breath may enter into them. He said, and he prophesied as he was commanded. And breath came into them, and they stood on their own feet, not to be carried anymore. On their own feet, not for someone to be praying for them anymore. On their own feet, they stood an exceedingly great army. Father, achieve your ultimate purpose here today in the name of Jesus. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I'm having a leading this afternoon to do something that I thought would take us next week before we get there. Of course, this afternoon, I'm teaching you on understanding personal evangelism. And I'm trusting God to lead us on from where we stopped yesterday. But what is interesting to me is that God is saying I should teach it with the organizational structure of Reformation Platform. Praise the Lord. I don't know why, but that just came to me here now. I have the sermon already, except that, you know, when women have, when they want to cook, Abby? Sorry, I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to cook. But at least I used to see. You have oil, you have pepper, meat or fish. And if you have put everything, maybe you put Maggi, then you still have to put salt. I used to wonder why put salt again, since there's salt in Maggi. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But I presume that they are all ingredients of the same thing to make it a complete thing. What I'm sensing God is going to do in this last session is to tie together what you have been learning since morning. Praise the Lord. To give you practical steps, practical ways and means of making all those things work. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, we are going to begin from the book of Exodus. We are still talking on personal evangelism. Exodus. I hope you are not like most carnal people who are thinking, where will evangelism come out from in Exodus? Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. I want somebody with a microphone to read for me. It's quite long reading, so from verse Sorry, I'm just searching my spirit. You understand? It's always like that. From verse 11, then you read to the end. Then you read chapter 3, verse 1. Then you stop there. Yes. Yes.
When Moses was grown, that he went out into his house.
Yes. Please hold on. He went out. What did he go out to look at? What did he look, go out to look at about his brethren?
Their bodies.
Their what?
Their
bodies. What another word for burden? Another word for burden? Suffering? Problems? Abi? Please go on.
And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew.
Yes.
One of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out of this on the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us?
Who made you? Who made you? Please go on.
Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the trough to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Sephora his daughter, and she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom. And he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them.
Please read on.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the fire was not consumed. And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I told it a long reading. Please, I want you to say to yourself, I am important in the plan of God. My background does not matter. My past does not matter, because my past is past. All that matters is what God says concerning me. Please listen carefully today. How old was Moses? Okay, I think I should just begin the story from, let me try and build it before we now start to share. Amen. I'm talking on understanding personal evangelism. That's what I'm talking about. when Joseph was sold into slavery and he went to Egypt, and after he went to Egypt, he became a prime minister. Is that correct? And by becoming a prime minister, by the wisdom of God, he was able to save the world from a famine that would have wiped off mankind. Okay? Now, the Egyptians became so favorable to Joseph, they said, bring your people. Amen. So, he sent his brothers and they brought their father and all what they owned. The Bible says 70 souls went down into Egypt. Praise the Lord. Souls, 70. And it came to pass, according to the time of life, about 400 years after they had multiplied exceedingly. But actually, I didn't tell you that what made Joseph to be sold into slavery, okay, and all that happened, okay, is because God had told Abraham about 430 years before that know for certain that your descendants will go down to a land and that land will oppress them. Praise the Lord. Eh? But in the midst of all that oppression, I will prosper them and I will punish the nation that oppresses them and I will bring them out with great substance. Please write this down. Whatever God says to me, he will not fulfill it because of me. He will fulfill it because he's faithful to himself. Because he's faithful to who? Himself. Even if we don't believe, yet he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. So he had promised Abraham that. And 400 years after, he said, in the fourth generation, they shall return to this land. He said, because the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. Praise the Lord. So, a new king came on the scene. And when he came, he didn't recognize what this man had done for Egypt. And since he didn't recognize it, he decided to control the people. He didn't know he was just a tool in fulfilling the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. Nigeria is meant for something bigger than this. All the people stealing and doing all the things they are doing, they didn't know that they are just creating the atmosphere that will bring you out. Praise the Lord. So, then he enslaved the people. And by enslaving them, they began to multiply. Then secretly wanted to be killing the boys by talking to midwives. Abby, the midwives refused. So they said, okay, soldiers, whenever you see a male child, what should you do? Take them out and kill them. The reason is because, and say, if it's a woman, leave her. You know why? Because women, they are absorbable. Women are what? Eh? But men are the ones that procreate. Are you getting the idea? Men are the ones that put the seed in women, right? So if you don't want Israelites, you don't need to kill Israelite women. It's the men you need to kill. You understand? So they start killing them. But in the wisdom of God, one of the children that was meant to be killed was kept for 3 months. This boy's name was Moses. And after 3 months, his mother didn't keep him anymore. Put him inside a basket that is like a court and put him on the river. The same Egyptians, God used them to give him the best education, the best military training, amen, the best of everything that they have. And Egypt was the greatest nation then in the world, like the way America is now, you understand? And he was raised as a prince. Amen. Because in fairness, nobody can lead a nation except a noble. Praise the Lord. And that's why the training of a noble is always when they are very young. They are trained that they are kings and that they are royalty. That was how Moses grew up. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, I want somebody to read for me. Amplified Bible. Please read with the microphone. We are going somewhere. Please just follow me. Be patient. Ephesians 2:10. Yes. I said it.
For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship,
yes,
recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them,
yes,
living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Amen. In Psalm 139, the last teacher mentioned that, verse 16, the Bible said, all my days were written in a book before any one of them came to be. How many days? Huh? On Friday, I was teaching you about purpose. Abi? Right? And I was telling you that if you have not discovered it in Christ, you cannot become all you were meant to be. Praise the Lord. Please just listen. So this man was trained. And before he became 40 years from Josephus, that's the history of the Jews, we found out that this man, according to the book of Acts, that says he was mighty in words and in what? And in deeds. Apparently, we found out that from extra biblical sources that Moses was a general of the Egyptian army. Praise the Lord. And I think he fought the Ethiopians and he won a great victory. So he was being prepared as next in line for the throne. If he had been crowned king, will you hear his name today? How many great pharaohs have ruled and they have lied down, covered in a blanket of worms when they died? What is the blanket of dead body? Is it not worms? They are even placed inside golden caskets and all that, but we don't know their names. It's only Egyptologists that bother themselves about such things. But everybody knows Moses, the prince of Egypt. I'm going somewhere. So when this man became 40 years old, of course, remember that when they were raising him, it was his mother that raised him. And on the pain of death, she had schooled him, she discipled him. You didn't hear what I'm saying? So you are seeing everything that we are learning, how it's coming together, Abi? He was in the palace, but he knew that his people were who? Those slaves outside. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Acts that by faith, when he came of age, when he did what? So, just like when you are coming to spiritual maturity, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, preferring to suffer affliction, or shame because of who? Christ. Praise the Lord. Just as when you come of age, you will know that money is not anything. And being a billionaire and being known everywhere, you will know it's nothing. That's not what we live for. Amen. Then, at 40, he thought, okay, it's time. Amen. And he went out to look on the burdens of his people. Burden. I know without burden there's no ministry. You see, if a man that has no burden is doing ministry, he'll be interested in your money. You understand? But if it's a man that's with a burden, he just wants to lift a burden. That's all. Praise the Lord. So he went out to look at his people's burden. And at that same time, he saw an Egyptian oppressing an Israelite. And with his zeal, what did he do? He killed the Egyptian. Of course, you know what happened the following day? When two Israelites were fighting, they said, who made you a ruler over us? Do you want to kill me the way you killed the other man? Faced with rejection, what did he do? He had to escape for his own life. And that opened the second phase of his life, another 40 years. Amen. Of training. Now, not as a prince, This man had never drawn water by himself before. After he survived the wilderness, the first thing he did was to draw water for 7 women. He was called an Egyptian because he was dressed as what? An Egyptian prince. He drew water for the first time. I imagine how they would have laughed at him. It's not sword. He could easily beat the shepherds because he was a soldier. Are you getting the idea? But he had never drawn water before. He didn't know how they do it. In their army camp, if he wants to try it, all his servants and retinue of servants are saying, my lord the prince, let me do this for you, let me do that for you. But where I'm going is this. After he drew the water and all that, he was invited into their house. Abby, please look at that same chapter 2 before we come to chapter 3. And we'll begin to see what God is saying there. That same chapter 2, my emphasis is in verse 21. That's where I want to start from before we now come down. What did the Bible say?
Moses accepted the invitation.
Okay.
And he settled there with him. In time.
No, it's okay. He settled there. Abby? But you see, I don't even like that translation. The King James says what? Moses was what? He was content. What is the Holy Spirit saying this afternoon? Moses was contented to just dwell with the man. If I will not be able to save the world, you know, the man that says, yes, I'm going to save the world. Then as he's growing up, and life begins to give him hard knocks. Well, if I can't save the world, I will save my continent. As he grows a bit more, if I can't save my continent, I will save my nation. As he grows a bit more, if I can't save my nation, I'll save my tribe. As it grows more, if I can't save my tribe, I'll save my state. As it grows more, if I can't save my state, what will I do? I'll save my local government area. As it grows more, if I can't save my local government area, I'll save my extended family. As it grows more, if I can't save my extended family, I'll save my family. Then finally, when it grows more, if I can't save my family, I will save myself. He was content to dwell with a man. It was not God. What did I say? It was not what? And some of us said, the Lord trained Moses for 80 years. Let me tell you, read your Bible properly. God didn't intend for him to act by himself. If he had not acted by himself, he wouldn't have gone on 40 years exile, right or wrong. From that same palace, he will come across God. Because at the time when he acted, he didn't even know God. He didn't know God. He just knew that these are my people. So, Moses condemned the people of God to 40 more years because the man that God wants to use was not ready. And he needed 40 more years to pass a simple lesson. How many more years do we need before you will rise up? You understand where I'm going now? He was content to dwell with the man. Then he has his father-in-law's flock that he's leading out a prince. And 40 years went until he forgot who he was. So that even when God was talking to him, he said, me, who am I? You are the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. You are a prince of Egypt. Amen. Amen. You got born again. You know, we call God our father, and we just call God our father religiously. If God is your father, who is God? Brother, who is God? The what? Yeah, I know he's a creator. Who is God? In relation to the story of Moses, who is God? We will say, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I worship you religiously, but you have forgotten your ancestry. If God is a king, what does that make you? Are you not royalty? How come royalty is rushing for bus in Lagos? What happened? Praise the Lord. So if God is your father, then you are what? Oh? You are royalty. But I'm asking you one question. How long do we have to wait before you rise up? Because I found out here that while Moses was busy sleeping with Zipporah every night and leading out sheep in the morning to evening for 40 years, what was happening in Egypt? Eh? The struggle continues. Bible says Moses was content to dwell with the man. As long as you are contented to just pursue your small, small dreams and your small life, people who are assigned to you, they are condemned to suffer. Except God chooses to now overlook you and call somebody else to add your work to his own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at it. In the morning, you receive calls into ministries and different things. Abi? In the afternoon, you are taught how to merge it, right? With acquiring skills so that you're not just talking with mouth. As you are spiritually sound, you're also intellectually what? Sound. Now, God is saying, how long will it take you to marry the spiritual with the intellectual, and come out as a prince, as a representative of the kingdom of heaven here on earth? He was contented to dwell with the man. Just give me my two children. He named the first one. It's two children. They were named according to his past. He named the first one Gershom. Say, because I'm a foreigner in a foreign country. The second one, he named him Eliezer. He said, because, thank God that he delivered me from the hand of Pharaoh. He just kept looking back. There was no future. And for 40 years and 40, yeah, and in 40 years, I won't say for 40 nights. Amen. For 40 years, he go out in the morning, kiss his wife, take his stick. Who has seen the movie Prince of Egypt? The animation, Prince of Egypt. You haven't? I think you should go and look at it. When he got back, after he had an encounter with God on the Mount of God, they showed the tent that he and his wife were living in. And they were showing their silhouette. Silhouette is, let's say I'm behind the curtain, okay? You're just seeing my shadow. You can't see me. You understand? And he was just doing like this. He was trying to explain to her what he saw. She couldn't get it. He went out in the morning. The normal Moses that's hopeless and has left everything, that life has happened to, when he, after that 8 years, when he said, what happened to Moses? Life. That's what happened to him. He came back with the rod of God in his hand. Do you know that rod of God that Moses came back with? That was just a stick before? Please let me look for that scripture that says, a rod will come out from the stem of Jesse. It's somewhere in Isaiah. Please, can you look for it? Praise the Lord. But by the time he was returning in the evening, he was another man. At the end of this Bible school, will you become another man? Will you be ready to be all that you were meant to be? Amen. Amen. When I was preaching about this personal evangelism yesterday, you know I was saying a lot of things. Abby? Look at the secondary schools. Are you sleeping? If you are sleeping, just stand up. And so you won't be tired, so you can listen. It's not a problem. I know it's a lot of work to sit down and listen. Sincerely. And so stand up. Walk around. You'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Look at the secondary school. Amen. So many lesbians now inside secondary school. So many atheists. They don't believe there's God. So many of those young people, they don't. Amen. Brother Ashegun, stand up. Brother Femi, stand up. Where did I meet you? You are in SS what when I met you, Ashegun? You were in SS2, all of you. Okay. You were still wearing shorts. I'll come from my office to come and preach in their school. Eh? Oh, you were first. You were short. I used to wonder, Lamide was like this. So thin and... Praise the Lord. I wish I had taken pictures then. Praise the Lord. I'll leave my office to go and preach in their secondary school. Has it not happened? Didn't it occur to you that we can storm all the schools, all the secondary schools, and that every week we are meeting them and we are preaching the same thing to them? Maybe you don't know. We are doing that in some schools already. Abi, we are. But don't you think it's possible that all the schools in Lagos on Friday, they will hear again the word of God? But somebody must say, I'm no longer contented. I'm no longer what? To dwell with a man and be leading our sheep in the morning. That definition is, I just have a very good bank job in Lekki and you are living in the cartoon. You know how frustrating that kind of life can be? But that's go to Agege Motor Road in the morning. You will see them. So many Moses, mighty, but they are content to dwell with the man. What happened to them? Life has happened to them. They've had accident with life and life came out the winner. Praise the Lord. It didn't occur to you? Now I want you to look beyond Lagos and look at Western Nigeria. I want you to look at the whole of Nigeria, all the schools in Nigeria. So if you're here and God has given you a youth ministry, who told you that you cannot be going before God every day? Over all the secondary school students in Nigeria. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all what you are saying is, Lord, how are you helping us to make progress in Anambra? And you are here in Lagos. Lord, all the youths in Kano. It has not happened. You know, you've not thought about it because you are content to do what? To dwell with a man. And while he was dwelling there, what happened? The Bible says, of course, he gave birth to children. Then in verse 23, now in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. So God heard their groanings and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel and he acknowledged them. It's not all the girls that came to campus. Isaiah 11:1. Okay, and we will still look at it. Thank you. It's not all the girls that came to campus that were prostitutes. The ones that Aristo has spoiled their lives now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And all the campus fellowships, because their ex-cos are busy bagging titles. They have no time. They have no strategies of reaching out to those people. Praise the Lord. What if I tell you that we have a strategy? We've had that strategy in the last 10 years. And it will reach every school up to every student on campus. Whether in your room or faculty, you will hear about Jesus. But who will go and do it? It has to only be done by people that are what? That are no longer content to dwell with the man. And you see, before Moses can be woken up from his stupor, it took a lot of work from God. Amen. In fact, in one of the meetings that my disciple preached about the life of Moses, he was saying that wasn't the first time God was calling Moses. You understand? God doesn't like to see people suffer, sincerely. He said, I will turn to see this great sight. A bit later in chapter 3. God, Bible said, when God now saw that Moses was ready to see, God too now called him. But where did that meeting happen? Where did that meeting happen between Moses and God? Where did it happen? It's there now, chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it. Where did the meeting happen? Somebody said it happened at the burning bush. Where did the thing happen, Jerry? Where is location now? Is it that difficult? Mount Sinai. Or what's the other name? Or Mount Horeb. What's another name for it? Mount of who? God. When you came here on Wednesday last week, what was the scripture that I first shared before we started? In Exodus 19, Abby? That God said he will lead them to where? He said Moses should bring the people to come and meet him. They will stand at the foot of the mountain. Wasn't that what God was saying on Wednesday last week? And that God will descend upon the mountain so that the people can see him how. Moses. When I say Moses, say yes. Translate that Moses to your own name. Do you understand? Moses. 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 Behold your God. Do you understand that now? You are in Mount Sinai, where God had promised that he will reveal himself to everyone that comes. Has that been happening to you? Don't worry, as I preach on now, you will see. Don't worry, you're not following that anointing. Me, I'm just here to explain to you what has been happening since Wednesday up to now. Amen. In the light of understanding personal evangelism. All the people he was meant to save, they remained in bondage because this man was busy. He had lost all hopes. Well, somebody's uncle born in Lekki. Never traveled out before. Who knows whether I ever will. Who told you? Amen. He was contented to dwell with the man. At 80, he thought his life is over. Can't go back to Egypt because now he's a fugitive. Amen. There's no hope in the desert. Well, let me just be here. Then he told himself, all those things that used, all those zeal that was in him, that yes, let us go, we can do it. He said, it is misguided zeal. So let me just stay where I am. But as long as he stayed where he was, what was happening to the people that he was meant to save? They were suffering. So that's what I'm asking you. What God is asking us to do is much. Should we be waiting? Should we still be waiting for you? Do you think God will just gather you for a meeting just to make you feel, and that's all? Do you think God has time for things like that? He doesn't. There's work to be done. There are lives to be saved. Amen. I like the song that says, to the millions that are crying for release, Lord, make me an instrument of peace. Do you know that there are so many homes in Lagos that are sad because the marriages, the oil has finished? Who told you that it's not possible that we can have Christians on every street praying for all the homes on that street? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's possible. But the point is, what happened to Moses? Now, since he cannot save the world and everybody else and his family, he just wants to do what? Save himself. Now, if Jethro kicks Moses out, where will he live? So you understand why a lot of people have to work on Sunday. Because if they kick them out, they don't know where to go. And many of us that are in school, that's what we are planning to become. That's our dream too. It doesn't matter how busy I am. At least there's money. When they call family meet, I can drop something. That's what we are hoping to become too. Then you wake up by 4 a.m. What am I saying? You wake up by 3:30. You are looking at time. By 4:45, you must be on the road. And as you're on the road, you are watching like a lord, like a hunter, so that whatever pickpockets or armed robbers will not attack you. To pick a bus by 5, because if you don't pick the bus by 5, you cannot be in the office by 8. You would have planned 2 hours traffic into your going out every morning, only to come back by 10 and 11 or 11:30 at night every day. He was content to dwell, the man. To the millions that are crying for release, Lord, make me an instrument of peace. Moses led out more than 6 million people. How many people? From Egypt, more than 6 million. Now, God needed yes from one man before 6 million will be free. You are not understanding me. Are you getting what I'm saying? He needed the concept of one man to say, yes, Lord, I will go for you. Yes, Lord, I will go in your name. He needed that before 6 million people can be free. Moses, he was content to dwell with who? That man. From tutorial centers, some people, their lives spoiled before they even go to campus. The school there, the tutorial center there is an example. The one that they dress as if they are in university. You know the one I'm talking about? The one at, I think, was it at Selyat? And they just dress so. And I'm wondering, you have not even passed jump. Somebody said, but it's sure for them that it's guaranteed. Guaranteed how? And they've paid maybe some special money and they automatically get to campus. No, that means that their lives, how their lives will ruin, it's on automatic train or express train. Because when you pass out, it's not, when you go for interviews, I hope you know that there's no expo in interviews. Eh? You don't understand. When you finish university and you now go for interview that you want to do something, there's no expo there. If a woman wants to do expo there, then she must sleep on the table and they must sleep with her. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they'll be dressing like this. Their lives are spoiling. And when you are passing, you say, it is well. Because you are content to do what? To dwell with a man. You are concerned only about your life. But you don't know until you say yes to the Lord. These people, if mortal hits any of them and they die, where are they going? Hell. I don't know how many more deaths you can be on your conscience. Did you hear what I'm saying? I don't know how many what? How many more deaths you can be on your conscience? What if I scare you by telling you that some of the people that you were meant to preach to, some of them have died? God will grant you understanding. Tutorial centers. So many widows and orphans. A lot of people can't pay hospital bills. Let me tell you, preaching people with the gospel of Jesus, it's easy. We will just do it the Bible way. Somebody doesn't have medical bills to pay. Take it up. Pay it. No. We are not satisfied in our house now. We are not rich people. It's because you are content to do what? To dwell with a man. But one day, he was still leading sheep. That day he had an accident with the word of God. And they went home a changed man. He led his flock of sheep. He saw fine grass somewhere near the mountain. He didn't even know that was the mountain of God. Then he just got there one or the other. I don't know how you got here. Maybe somebody invited you or you invited yourself. But how? One way or another, what happened? You were here. He got there. God said, Praise the Lord. Then he began to see something he has not seen before. In all his 80 years, bush is burning. But what happened though? The bush is not burnt. Some of you keep coming back every day. Do you know why? It's not because we say 8 times. Because the person that didn't even come twice, it's not a matter of being late now. You didn't come. Abi? You kept coming because As you come, maybe the first day, you were blessed. By the time you came the second day, you came the second day because you were blessed yesterday, right? At the second day, it will be higher than the first day. Am I right or wrong? Like, okay, come closer a bit again. Let me come the following day, right? Up to today. You are like Moses. When he saw that fire, that bush burning, what was he doing? Let me see. And he was coming how? Closer. And he goes, hey! Wait. Where you are is what? Is holy ground. To put off your shoes. You didn't ask yourself, why did God say you should put off his shoes? Amen. It was the same reason why Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He said, he that has had a bath need not to be cleansed all over save for his feet. Why? Because your feet is a contact with the ground. Amen. And feet there signifies, because he was wearing sandal or whatever, Abby. The sandal signifies the flesh and everything that used to protect yourself. Everything that you'd have said, whatever they say, me, I know what me, I want to do. I just know what me, I want to do. You understand? In the few days, then up to today, please, was there a taking off of that sandal? Since morning? What was the song that we started with this morning? That the servant of God that began started with? Bemi Soke. By the time he finished ministering, had God lifted you up? People started praying and they don't care who is beside them again. It is hot a mountain of God. It's a mountain of encounter. Men meet with God there. So I'm trying to explain to you what happened. And why what happened happened. He said, now Mount Sinai was altogether on fire. Why? Because the Lord descended upon it. Or it was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Then he called his name, Moses. He said, when the Lord saw that he has turned to see, he called his name. He's calling you today. For Moses had finally after 40 years. When did he hear? Samuel had the same night, the fourth time. Rabbi, you don't understand what I'm saying. When you will come is left to you. It's not God. Samuel had when? The same night. He called him the first time he ran to Eli. The second time he ran to Eli. The third time he ran to Eli. He said, for you call me. He said, if he calls you again, what's going to happen? Say to him, speak, Lord, for your servant heard the baptism. And the Lord came and stood as a four times. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, speak, Lord, your servant heard. And that little boy, 12 years old, was ordained and verified that this one is a servant of God, was a priest to God from age 12. Brother Moses had to start his own journey by age 80. No. It wasn't that God needed 40 years to train him. No. That wasn't the matter. Something happened to him. And it's what happens to normal people. Because it's a person. But it was easier. It was easier for Samuel. Do you know why? He was a young person like you. No cares. No worries. A fool as 40. What is he? What was the time Moses ran away? Do you understand what's happening now? Go and check the Bible. And check contemporary Christian history. All the men that are made serious changes and move the kingdom forward were young people. They were what? They all started when they were very young. Because if you are young, then you can offer more immediate service. You thought it was a joke when we were singing that hymn, just as I am thine own to be. friend or beyond who lovest me. As he said, as you are bidding me to come. Oh Jesus Christ, I come. Abi? Then one of the lines said, just as I am, young, strong, and free. Early will I come in the glad, you know, in the morning of my day to be the best that I can what? Be. To the millions that are crying for release, make me an instrument of peace. It's possible. I wish you know the number of prisons and cells that are in Lagos alone. Do you know if you go to a police station that you want to preach to the people in there? Will not say that you're under arrest. Eh? If Christianity is doing its work, criminals will reduce. Part of what we are going to do is we need people that will be going
with us to prisons and give out blankets, give out Bibles, give out food. But no. You have a job interview in Lekki. It's because you are content to do what? To dwell with the man. Praise the Lord. That's why. What about rehabilitation of prostitutes and touts? Even when people come out from prisons, they're worse than before they went inside. Who told you they can't be rehabilitated? Have you seen the man that this gospel cannot change? Huh? That's not bad. About rehabilitation. Then you disciple them. You give them skill acquisition. Just what we just finished talking about. Abby. Then you reintegrate them into the society. As agents of change. They are the ones that have been with the criminals before. They know where all the criminals will be. Abby. So don't just think I'll come and teach you how to evangelize and talk to one person. No. I'm going to be teaching you how to have a global outlook. How to have what? See beyond yourself. See beyond your family. See beyond what? Let one man shall come and marry me. See beyond all those small things. As you are laboring for the Lord, what will God do for you? Whatever concerns you, will do it. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. In saying that you minister to the saints and you do minister. It's not unrighteous. God does not owe any man. But there are people in prison. A brother, can you remember that brother in Shagaresa that came out from SARS prison? The tall, slim one. He came out, we fed him. When we gave him food, you know what he said? The eba was so plenty, the soup was not enough because the day he just came in by himself, so he wanted to give his life to Christ. Because I think that he probably had not cooked or something, I can't remember. We said, we are sorry that the soup is small. He said, this is Christmas food in SARS prison. We were like, what, in the same Lagos? He was coming from another world. We don't understand what he was talking about. They will just call their name. Once they call somebody's name at night, the person is going for firing squad. Where was he caught? He was caught at Ikeja under the bridge. He was trying to pick one woman's bag. That was where the boy was caught. The boy I'm talking about. And when we're trying to reintegrate him, we left him there inside our house because he has heard the word of God. He couldn't steal. Am I lying? We left him there. Couldn't steal. Because he has heard the word of God. But you know, I see us buying our ninth Jeep and doing all those things that are unnecessary and printing all manner of things that we don't need, and people are hungrier and are worse off than they were before. There are girls that have been raped and abused just because they need to pay exam fees. So who told you that through your hands, through your business, if demands are made that we need to send people to school, why won't you just put everything down so that somebody's life can move forward. Why not? No, you won't, because why? You are content to dwell with the man. If I leave this one, how am I sure that my bill and my house rent that I want to pay in 2 years' time when it dues, since I have to save from now till then, how am I sure to be paid? And that's why, if Moses had died like that, he would have died as one of the thousands of shepherds who go out every day on the plains of Midian, Abi, with sheep. Will anybody know him? No. Please, how much time do I have left? But on that day, when Moses encountered God, what was just rod before that he was using to guide sheep? Became what? The rod of God. Before we look at that place in Isaiah 11, your Bible from today, remember when the first man that spoke, Reverend Hezekiah, when he was teaching, he said, Bible study for you can no longer be the same. Can you remember he said that? Because your Bible will catch fire. You didn't hear what I'm saying. When you open it, because your eyes will become open, you begin to see something else that you had not seen before. And the Bible says, and when he left that mountain, he left, or when he was on his way to Egypt, he left his water with the rod of God. What's that rod of God? Let's go to Isaiah 11 and see there before we conclude in prayers. If you are there, please say amen. There shall come forth a what? Is it the same spelling with what Moses was holding? There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. By the time you read down, who was this passage talking about? Jesus, the word of God. From ordinary stick, it became the word of God. Ordinary stick. From ordinary Bible that you had grown up with in Sunday school all those years, what will it become now? The word of God. And by that same rod, he was doing all the signs and wonders. Abi, all the equipment you need for evangelism, for changing the lives of people, is that book, the Bible. That's all you need. All you need. One genuine encounter, and his life turned around. Man that nobody heard of for 40 years, overnight, he came out of the blues, and he said to a whole nation, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go. If you don't let them go, I'm going to turn all the water into blood. Not in this town alone, but all over your nation." I'm sure that you must be, is this one demented? What is he talking about? Hey, I don't know the Lord and I'm not letting Israel go. So no problem. What did he apply? What did he stretch? Stretch it over all the waters of Egypt. And as I preached in one place, as the Bible says, that wasn't only the water of that river, but all their spring, all their lakes, all their other small rivers, all the aquarium in their houses. The Bible even says all the pots and kettle. Then I now preach in one place. I said, one man was bathing that morning, and maybe like 9 states away from Tarphanes, where Moses was confronting Pharaoh. And as he was bathing, he had put soap. And as he poured water on his head, he was still cleansing it. He was singing to Ra. That's the name of their God. As he went to carry the second one, that was when Moses turned the water to blood. They put it on his head and like, yay! That's the first thing we do. And as he runs out from that, what are you calling it? Bathroom. Do you think he will stop in the sitting room? Where is he stopping? On the road. We stop outside on the road. Then when his wife said, hey, what is this? Where did you get blood? Please bring water, bring water. As they carried the same water again, what would they pour on him? Blood. One man, not two men, one man. One plus God is majority. All minus him is minority. So it doesn't matter the number of people preaching nonsense in Lagos. That's not the point. Will you stand up to be counted? Yesterday, we're standing up here, we're saying, stand up for Jesus. Have you? Ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. This is what the Lord is saying this afternoon. There's so much work to be done. The kingdom of God had never had any opportunity at the age we are in to save people. All that is required is our willingness. Yesterday they broke into prayer groups. Abby, when you pray, something will happen. When you pray, what will happen? Something will happen. God is not unemployed. What did I say? Men have just left him to go and be doing their own thing. Men have just left him to go and be, you know, solving their own problems in their own way, in their own difficult way. Does he not know the name of everybody living on this street? Are you telling me he doesn't want them saved? That's the matter. That's the problem that we have. The problem is that every man is minding his own thing and no one is minding the things of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray God will grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Let us pray. When we finish praying, you can ask your question before we close. I'm sorry? We are closing when? I'm sorry? Okay. Please let's stand up. We'll sing this song once and I want you to turn into prayer. I know you may be confused and you may be saying, but where will I start from? Don't worry. I don't know which of you I was telling yesterday when I said that before we come for the next session of this school in August, we have enough that will give you, that will keep you occupied between now and when? August. So that every day you'll be at place, you'll be burning. I want you to sing. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. As the Lord wants somebody, here I am, send me. Here I am, here I am, here I am. Send me, here I am. Send me, as the Lord wants somebody, here I am. Send me, here I am, here I am. Use me, here I am, use me, as the Lord wants somebody, here I am, use me. Please, I want you to turn into prayer. Please turn it to prayer. Lord, here I am. When he called him Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. That was what he said. This is me. He came there, a man. He left there another man. He came there, an ordinary man. He left another.
another man. He came there, a confused man, tired of life. He left an empowered man, invigorated with vision, strengthened with a knowledge of what to do next. I want you to pray. Turn into prayer. Here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. Send me. Send me. I can be useful in your hand too. Don't bypass me on this mountain. Send me, Lord Jesus. Use me, Lord. I lay down every burden. I lay it all down. Send me, Lord. Use me. Use me. Send me. Young people, they are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. If you are young, you are useful. If you are young, you are usable. God can achieve more with you. Achieve more with you. He can achieve more with you. Oh, it is possible. For all things are possible to him that believeth. For with God all things are possible. You too can become a voice for God in this generation. To the millions that are crying for release, choose to be an instrument of peace.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace where there is hate.
Tell it to him. To the millions that are crying for release, make me an instrument of peace. Millions of people. Maria Woodward Etta, she was a mother of seven when God called her. Mother of seven. And she served God faithfully in her generation. She served God, a holy woman. Outlived John Dowie for 20 years. It's possible. You can be more than this. You can be more than this. You were meant to be more than this.
Lord, make me an instrument of peace. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments of peace, where there is blindness, we will pray for sight. Where there is darkness, we will shine his light. Where there is sadness, we will speak his peace. To the millions crying for release, we will be your instrument of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. May we'll be your instrument of peace.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, on that day when you met Moses at Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, you didn't leave him the same. Lord, perfect this experience by changing us in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, from today, the things that we used to do before, let us do them no more. The sins that we used to sin before, let us sin them no more. The Egyptians we used to see before, let us see them no more. Give us victory over sin. And Lord, call us up for your own purpose. Let it be so, Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
God bless you. Please be seated. If you have questions, I'll take them. If you don't have questions, I'll give the microphone to Brother Shegun so that we can wrap up for the day. Or whatever announcements they have, they can give you. Please, do you have any question?
Now, I started responding to things that God asked him to do.
Yes.
Now, Moses did for 40 years. What happened? Is plan of God not there? Because I think you think you maybe preparing you for things to happen in 40 years or 50 years time.
Okay.
Are you saying that doesn't really for God's kind of now come back to still want to use him?
Who are you talking about?
Moses.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I will answer your question with a question. The year you became born again, was that the year you are supposed to be born again? Huh? Oh, you don't know. You said that was the year you're supposed to be born again. Okay. So obviously you don't understand what I'm saying. I got born again at 13. At what age? When I backslid, was it God wrote it that I would backslide? Huh? Let me think about. Man has a will of his own. And until you surrender that will, you cannot become all you were meant to be. Do you understand? But the Bible says all things work together for good, if you still have time, to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Because there is no purpose that God gives you that's everlasting purpose. Please understand what I mean. That is, you are not an everlasting man, meaning that you are going to live on earth forever. Eh? Every purpose of God is attached to time, even though it is eternal in effect and its scope. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, do you understand what I said? So, if God wanted Moses to go to Midian and spend 40 years, it won't happen like that. It happened like that because Moses chose to kill somebody. Did God tell him, "Thus says the Lord, strike down the Egyptian"? Did God say that? I would say God said that. No, he was the one that killed the Egyptian. You understand that now? So, many times, because we don't yield fully to the plan of God for our lives, we delay it. That's what I was just trying to say. You understand? And I was giving the example of a man who was a young boy when God came and was properly discipled, even where Phinehas and Hophni, sons of Eli, priests of the Lord, who all what they knew how to do was to use flesh hooks to carry meat. In that same, and sleep with women at the tabernacle door. In that same depraved place, Samuel walked in such a way that God could call him. Are you getting the idea now? So that's what I'm saying. If you yield quickly, your training can begin on time, and what God needs to do can start. Many of us were actually the ones delaying God. That's the simple truth. And that's why some of you, maybe you've been coming to meetings, and all the meetings you come to, they will always preach surrender. Maybe they didn't even mean to preach that before, but once you walk in, the Holy Spirit will change the message because of you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the people that you are sent to, they are still languishing. While you are still busy saying, I don't even know God self. Me. I'm just tired though. I'm just, why are you doing those childish things? Let me tell you. May you never know divine rejection. You didn't hear what I said. A man, Esau, tasted it. Had the birthright, had everything. He despised it, so God transferred it to Dios. When he needed it most, he sought it. Eh? He sought it carefully with tears. It was too late. Amen. So, because you don't have time, that's why it's good for you to respond to God. When? Early. Before you make mistakes and ask somebody that, will you marry me? And you have married the person. You have married the wrong person. You have done this, done that. Of course, if you have married the wrong person, you know that that wrong person has become the right person now. Because we will not say that you have to divorce the person. That will not happen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting the idea? Huh? So that's the way to do. But if you respond quickly, God can do more with you. Even your training process, look at a man like David. He was trained for 13 years. Huh? Saul, by his, by the second year, Saul became king. He had missed it. And God was looking for replacement until 13 years more before Saul's reign came to an end. That was when he found David. You understand? And when he found David, for 13 years he was training him. Same thing happened to Joseph. You understand? And by age 30, by age what? They stepped into the plan of God for their lives. I started ministry at age 32. Because that was what God told me. I'm 31 this year. By age 30, I started to. But I had about 18 years also to prepare. Are you getting it now? But if you are just coming at age 35, amen, and he won't skip preparation. What did I say he won't do? And so time will be going, and the time that you are supposed to use to manifest will now be short. And it's not God's fault. It's just a matter of response. That's the answer. Did I answer your question? Yes. Does any other person else have a question? Okay.
Praise God. God checks the heart.
God looks at the heart, yes.
God looks at the heart. And then I know that no good thing comes from the flesh.
Okay.
So that's that. How do I know? Now, when I say yes to God, how do I know that my yes to God is genuine?
He said God knows the heart. And he knows that no good thing comes from the flesh. So how do I know if I say yes to God, my yes is genuine? You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Praise the Lord. Are you saying yes with your head or with your heart? If you say yes with your heart, God counts it. And your heart. And your heart is not your flesh. You understand? When I say heart, I hope you know I'm not talking about this one that pumps blood. I'm talking about your spirit man. So, if it's with your spirit man that you said, Lord, yes, he takes it seriously. That's how. Yes.
I think the next thing definitely is your action. Yeah. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't keep saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I will obey. I obey. In fact, I'm ready. And all you do is sit down. The next thing will be to take a step. You go and meet him and say, okay, here am I. Send me. Where am I supposed to go? what am I doing next? And then you would have proven that that yes you are saying is actually genuine. But to say yes, with all my heart, and then you go about your business the next morning, tomorrow you will soon forget that you said yes yesterday.
And it shows you are not serious about what you have said yes. Is there another person else so I can wrap up? Okay, I think there's nobody else. Shegu.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-813-8536,
080-745-8177, 081-409-9132-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?